Om Shanti. Welcome to our session, and I can see some sisters there in row 257 and row 289. You see, in the cinema, the most costly seats, they are in front. So make me one favor and come to the front. Brothers, also come. So I can see your faces, and we get a bit of feeling of a family, huh? Just come. I'm not biting. And you can see the slides maybe a little bit better. Okay. So welcome to our session. And the title is The Final Days of Transformation and Preparedness for the Last Chapter. And I have I will share with you in this presentation a lot of information. I have been recently at the UN Climate Conference. You know, we have a green team, an environmental team. And I was in November, December, I was in Glasgow with our green team. And we got the latest update, what is happening on the environmental situation. So I will share that also with you. Huh? Okay, we are set. Everything is okay, brothers? Camera okay? Good? All right, so let's start. All right, so I straight go into a slide about the environment, what is actually going on. You see, this is a slide about the tipping points in climate. And what happened is science has identified 12 major systems which control our climate. And these systems are the Arctic ice, the West Arctic ice sheet, and also here the permafrost. Then we have circulation systems. This is the Indian summer monsoon, West African monsoon, Atlantic circulation, and here El Nino. And we have biosphere components, which are basically the nature. These are the forests, the reefs, and so on, and the Amazon rainforest. So these are 12 systems, and all these systems are interconnected. So if one system changes, it affects the other systems also. No? And these 12 major systems, already identified a couple of years ago, they are literally controlling our climate. On top of it, we have the jet streams. The jet streams are high-speed westerly winds, which are in the troposphere, 10-kilometer height approximately, and when you fly with a jet, the pilot tries to catch the jet stream in the back, so he flies faster. They're up to 200 kilometers fast. So these jet streams also, they control, this all controls our global climate. And we were told out of 12 systems, 8 are showing signs of changes. So, for example, the ice is melting at a high speed, so more sunlight is falling on blue water, heats up the water, and heating is accelerated. So this affects then the Atlantic circulation, which affects the Indian summer monsoon, African summer, which affects here, which affects everything. So wherever you are on the world, you can already feel and experience a massive climate change. And you know, in Paris was the understanding that we limit the temperature rise to 1.5 degrees. Now we are at 1.2 degrees, but, for example, in the Arctic, temperature has gone up 3 degrees and more. So regional, there are big differences. And some regions will be more affected. For example, India will be more affected. The northern hemisphere will be less affected. Interestingly, you can say the poor countries, the global south, will be more affected, the north, industrial north, will be less affected. So this change is already happening right now in front of our eyes, and you're coming from all over the world, and I'm sure at your local places you also already experience some funny, strange weather. For example, here in India, this monsoon has shifted completely 1 month. It started 1 month late, it ended 1 month late, and in South India it was raining 5 months. Instead of 2 months. and a lot of coffee, for example, got destroyed. So, what will be the outlook? The outlook will be quite dramatic. You see, there's a couple of pictures from Germany. This is a maize field, which is totally dried up. 2018, we had 5 months no rain in the summer, which never happened before. This is forest fire near Berlin. Our forests worldwide are on fire. Not only the Amazon is burning, but also the big forests in Canada are on fire, and the big forests in Siberia are on fire. And they are so-called mega fires. They are 30 by 30 kilometers, and at the time, all the time, there are 10, 20 mega fires around the globe happening all the time. And you cannot douse them because nobody lives there. There's no equipment to tackle these huge fires, you know, because they're in very remote areas. You can see them by satellites. So we had forest fire in Germany. This is the biggest river, the River Rhine, which was never that much dry. Normally ships are cruising there. So it was so dry that they had to stop the ships and they had to reduce power production because they didn't have enough water for cooling the power plants. And here is a map of Florida. You see half of Florida is underwater. This is 20 meters seawater level rise. At the moment, the seawater level rises 3 to 5 millimeters per year. This does not sound much, but if you take the accumulation over the last many, many years, I think we're already half a meter above or 1 meter above normal. And most of the coastal cities around the world, they cannot deal with much more than a meter. If, for example, Bombay gets flooded already once or twice a year in the monsoon time, the water doesn't run off. And how many times you can flood a city? You know, there comes a moment when you cannot repair the infrastructure. So many coastal areas are very vulnerable to this seawater level rise, which is happening. So all in all, climate change is happening, and it's quite dramatic. So now we're coming to the signals of time and the last chapter. You know, today Baba, in the book message, was very interesting. Baba said, I was in Pandav Bhavan, was the book message, and Baba said, Baba has given you many signals, and now time will help you to become perfect. And he says, time will be your friend also. It's quite comforting that time is our friend. No? Sometimes BKs, they feel they're running out of time. Huh? Are you feeling sometimes we're short of time to get perfect? No? So Baba says, time will help you to become perfect. So what are those signals Baba is talking all the time? No? So we have a couple of very powerful signals within the Yajna. And one is Baba's program has changed. No? You know, when I came in Gyan, first time I came 1985 to Pandav Bhavan, Bab Dada came every third night. You know, and Daddy went 7 o'clock in trance and finished 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. And then the announcement was there, you did Amrit Vela with Bab Dada, so you don't have to do Amrit Vela now, you can come 8 o'clock for morning class. Because everybody was there until 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. And Baba came every third night. And we were 200 foreigners, 150 foreigners in season, you know. So it was quite different. And I heard the stories when Baba came before that in the 70s, then there were 20, 30 sometimes meeting Bab Dada, you know. So it was quite, quite different, the meeting. Now our daddies have left and Baba's program has changed. Now we have a video of Baba's program, which is played again. And I gave it the sweet name Video Baba. And it's different. You know, you can have a good experience there. I was a couple of times there. But it's, of course, it's different. No? Baba is no more coming on the physical realms. Our daddies and many seniors have left us. No? Last year, Daddy Junkie, Daddy Gulzar, and I was lucky, I was both times here in India when daddies left and cremation was there. So it was quite a dramatic time in the Yajna, you know. The historic event that our seniors are leaving us. And I think now is our Dadi Ratan Mohini. She's from the original time, from Hyderabad, from Pakistan. And that's it, you know. And so this is also a sign of time that our seniors have gone. Hmm? Huh? Right? So, and another issue which is there, which is very noticeable, that in Yagya also, but PKs are feeling more pulled towards tapasya or to meditation. You know, so these are the three signs in the Yagya. There might be also many other smaller signs here and there. A lot of dramas are also going on in the Yagya in India, but also foreign. Many BKs have to settle their karmic accounts. That is also there. And so a lot of stuff is going on all over the Yagya in India, but also abroad. So then these are some of the signs in the Yagya. And we have also a lot of signs also in the world. So one of the most important sign is the danger of a third world war. You know, when I came in Gyan, there was one brother from Frankfurt, and he told me, Golo, he says, 3 years, then there is destruction. And that was 84, 85, 86, 87. So I went to him and I said, what about destruction? He said, just one more year. One more year. And that was 86, 87. Now is 2022. You know? And still, things are going on. And destruction has not come. But the scenario, the all-over scenario has changed dramatically. You might know these old Gyan pictures where Russia and America are confronting each other. Huh? And some missiles are flying through the air. Quite, I thought when I came in Gyan, wow, there's peace, you know. War has long time been ago. And some days ago in Germany, the newspaper were there, is this the beginning of the Third World War? Huh? And suddenly Russia and NATO are at each other's throat. Quite serious, the situation right now. And many people, many politicians predict that the world is at the brink of a third world war. So this scenario, suddenly it popped up and it becomes quite real. Anybody from that region, anybody from nearby Europe? From Europe? Okay, Sonia also from Europe. Your others are all from Asia, no? So you're far away. But it will be a global war, you know, and it will affect all of us. And so suddenly this scenario becomes real, you know, very suddenly. Within half year, the Russians build up the troops and says, we want these demands. The NATO says, we will not fulfill your demands. And 2 weeks ago, on 22nd or so, Baba gave a book message, or a week ago, Baba gave a book message in Pandav Bhavan. And Baba says, there are many people which are scared and afraid, but there are also quite a lot of people which are very, very angry. And they're very angry, and they're ready to destroy the world. And Baba said this in the book message. So people are very angry, and they're ready to destroy the world. So, this is a big signal in the world, you know, that war may happen anytime. Not maybe the world war, but the beginning of the world war. So I'm from Germany, so we started two of them. So at least I'm very happy for the drama that we're not starting the third one, you know, hopefully, you know. So next big signal in the drama is climate change. Huh? I spoke a little bit before about it, and you see how dramatic it is. And the problem is now it will be virtually impossible to stop climate change or to mitigate it, means to soften it. As per the latest data, we're heading, the trajectory or the trend in temperature is towards 3 degrees. And yesterday I read a report, all the big companies, all the big banks, all the big players, they're investing heavily in coal. And coal is responsible for 30% of the greenhouse gas emissions. So they're putting a lot of money, investing it in power plants and building those power plants and putting them online and so on. So the CO2 emissions, which are the major driver for climate change, are still rising every year. So the trend at the moment is towards 3 degrees. And 3 degrees, you know, seawater level will rise, 30, 40 meters, all coastal cities will vanish. Food production will collapse worldwide. 80 to 90% of the world population will die because there won't be enough food. This is just if we go for 3 degrees. No? And probably it's worse than what I say, you know. It's pretty tough scenario. So climate change is there, and very, very difficult to stop it now, you know. At the climate conference, a lot of people have been very frustrated because of lack of action, because of those facts. Going together with the climate change is the loss of biodiversity. You know, basically, nature is disappearing in front of our eyes. In Germany, they did a test and they found out that 70% of the insects have disappeared. 70% of the insects have disappeared. 60% of the birds are gone, you know. And I'm so happy when I come to Mount Abu because I see butterflies, I see so many birds, you know. Mount Abu is like a little oasis, you know. But you go to Delhi or you go Bombay or you go to these big, big mega cities in India, a lot of animals and species have disappeared. But this is a global problem. You know, it's not only here. So we are living in an age of extinction, mass extinction of animals. And it's already happening, and many have already disappeared, and the loss is there. And many trees and plants also are in process of disappearing. This is going on. It's going together with change of temperature and climate and rain and so on. This is very sad. Then a next sign is Corona crisis. Who had Corona? Anybody had Corona? I had Corona? Nobody had Corona? Nobody had Corona. Oh, you're all protected. Huh? You're all vaccinated. And you were wearing a mask. I had probably twice Corona, and I'm twice vaccinated, you know. But in India, you know, yeah, it comes and goes, as they say. So Corona crisis is also a sign of the end. You know, it's a global epidemic. It has been many times forecasted that this is going to happen. And voila, here we got it. And it's interestingly connected to climate change. Because of climate change, many animals are migrating towards humans, and humans are migrating into areas where the animals have been. You know, we're going in the last jungle areas in Africa and in India, and there are many species where we have not been in contact before. And these pandemics often happen when an animal virus mutates and jumps over to the humans. And since 150 years, we have all these mass animal farms, you know. And since 150 years, we get also more and more of these pandemics. You know, there had been a Russian flu, then there was a Spanish flu, then there was SARS and MERS and these things. So Corona was just one step further in the development. And now with global travel and all this, it spreads very much and very fast. And globally seen, our immune system has also become weak. Why? Because with Corona comes also pollution and weakness of our immune system. The last sign for the change of time is our economic breakdown. You might see it also in your countries, but also in India, many small shops, many small businesses have disappeared. And I can imagine in your countries also, through Corona, a lot of damage to small business vendors on the street and so on, but also big companies. Lots and lots and lots of problems, and economic damage has been done. And many countries are in global debt spiral. Everybody's in minus, the budget is in minus, and all the financial markets are trembling right now, you know. And there is very much a chance for a crash situation also, which we had already before 2008 or 1928, the Black Friday in America, you know, when the stock market crashed. So these kind of things can happen anytime now, because the markets are very stretched. The losses are huge, and there are many, many bad banks, and many countries are irreversible in debt. Especially developing nations are irreversible in debt, you know. So it's a very, very tricky situation right now. And this is also one of the signs. So I've now, and there are many, many, many more signs, but this is the major signs I have observed. And so what will be the effects in future? there will be, of course, there will be food and water short. Oh, the one slide is missing. One second, one important slide. Effects, okay, here. Why is that not happening? Is it visible? Ah, yeah. So, what is in the pipeline? So, disasters are coming, you know. Baba many times told us that destruction will have a couple of different forms and signals. One will be nature. So, we will get flood and drought. Already in some areas of the world, who has flood and droughts? Unusual? Germany, we had flood and drought. Denmark? Hello? You understand? You have already flood and drought? Unusual in your country? No? Where are you from? Oh, you have big fires and yes, your Vancouver is gone. Of course, so hands up. Yes, yes, it's all over the world. Everywhere is flood and drought, you know, it's happening. Canada very badly hit Vancouver. So, earthquakes. Why? Because ice is melting and millions of tons of ice is becoming water and going to the equator. So the weight distribution of planet Earth is shifting and the Earth relaxes on the poles and changes a little bit the shape. That's why we get more earthquakes. It's measurable also. So, cold and heat waves. No? We get more cold and heat waves. This winter here was very severe in North India. Was one of the severest winters since many, many years. And in Delhi, many people died because of the cold spell. No? Storms, cyclones and hurricanes. So the numbers are going up globally. There is is the biggest insurance company in the world. It's called Munich Re. It's sitting in Munich, in München, in Germany. And it's the back insurer of all the other insurance companies. So any insurance company goes to them and insures their risk also with them because they're the biggest, they're the giant. You know, like Allianz is a big insurance company, but Allianz also is having is also going to Münchner Rück. That's the name of it. It's a gigantic insurance company. And since 30 years, they have a data center and they have a war room, a control room where they monitor globally for catastrophes because anything happens, they will be involved because everybody insures with them their risk. And they have a trend, very clear trend in the last 30 years. Storm, cyclones, hurricane, cold, heat wave, flood and drought, because they have to pay if these things are happening. And now it becomes more and more difficult to insure your house against flood or hurricane or these kind of things because it's increasing. And the premium goes up, you know. So it's a very dramatic situation. We have wars, conflicts, migration. Today I read an article, they prepare for 5 million refugees if Russia invades Ukraine, you know, and they already built refugee camps in various places in Europe. And we have every year millions of people trying to migrate from Africa to Europe already because there's no more food in Africa and 30, 40, 50,000 people drown every year in the Mediterranean when they try to cross the Mediterranean in little boats. That's what's happening. So migration is a big problem and will become a more bigger problem in future. And pollution, disease and epidemics. I wrote this 3 years ago, you know. So this is old stuff, but you see how current it is, you know. Pollution, I read a report some days ago. Can you imagine every week, you know about microplastic? You heard about microplastic? The plastic which is everywhere? And it becomes very small, like sand, like grains. It goes in the water, it goes in the sand, it goes in the soil, and it goes in the air. Because so much plastic. And now now microplastic is in toothpaste, it's in the food, it's in the water, it's in the food which we eat. And every human, average, eats per week equivalent plastic to one credit card. Can you imagine? You take a credit card, you grind it, and this amount is a teaspoon of plastic every week. That's how much plastic you eat at the moment because of microplastic. Yes, read it, brother. Don't be shocked. So, And we will see social and economic breakdown. Means our social infrastructure, our society, you know, the fabric of society will start integrating step by step. And we will see that in steps, you know. People will demonstrate more, they will become more crazy, this and that and this and that. So, what are the effects? We will get food and water shortage. We will get electrical failure. We will get fuel failure. Restriction of movement already happened. No? Corona. You are lucky you all made it to Mount Abu, no? Despite restrictions. And security issues and health issues. So these are all the effects for all of us. And of course, the Brahmins are preparing for all of this all the time. And Baba has given the message. I think it was in 2018. Baba gave a message, I think I have it. So, we did a lot of work on this. There's a disaster management group, there's a mental health group in the Brahma Kumaris, and we made lists what you can do to prepare yourself for these coming days, you know, as a private person, as a private PK, but also as a center. As a center Nivasi, or maybe you live in a retreat center. Who lives in a center? Hands up. Nobody. Sonia lives in a center. Anybody else? You all live privately? Anybody has water storage? Nobody has water storage. Anybody has food storage? One hand, two hands, three hands. For how long? Huh? 6 months? 1 year? Good. And the others, no. All right, it's good. 6 months is quite good. Yeah. So we bought some years ago dry emergency food. It's packed in sealed in aluminum, double sealed, vacuum packed, 20 years lifespan. And you can make a porridge or you can cook it, you know, with water. Or you can eat it also dry. And the whole gadi in Frankfurt, I should not say that, but the whole gadi is a gigantic food storage. So we also have for a couple of months in Frankfurt food storage. And if you go here on these web pages, Echo Brahma Kumaris, we have a web page. I will give you a little bit later the full web page. EchoBrahmaKumaris.org. There is a disaster management document. And there's written what you all should have at home. And Baba many times also said us. So Baba says, we will soon deal with a world full of denial, anxiety, depression, fear, anger, and panic. So, voila, are we ready? And Baba said in 2018 a message for the NC meeting through Dadi Gulzar, and Nirvibha read it out. And it says, settle and finish all conflicts. No? That is okay. Keep food for 6 months to 1 year. And make Amrit Vela very powerful. So what is the easiest, what is the most difficult? Yes, settle and finish all karmic accounts. It's the most difficult. Huh? Baba says we have to become like milk and honey amongst us. Because unity is our fortress and makes us very, very strong for the times to come. It will be also our protection. Huh? So, stop judging the other BKs or what they're doing, what they're thinking, what they're saying. It doesn't really matter because we are in the last chapter. And now it's time to become a big, big, big well-wisher for everybody. Can we do that for everybody? Even to those BKs which you don't like very much. Huh? Yeah, we all have the specialists. So, and coming to a world full of denial, anxiety, depression, fear, anger and panic. And that's quite interesting. I was in a plane 10 days ago. I came from Bombay to Ahmedabad. And halfway in the flight, it was 7 o'clock in the evening, the pilot said, the runway is blocked in Ahmedabad. You know, some construction was going on. And we cannot land there. And we have to land in Baroda. And then we will check out and see how it goes further. You should have, and so we landed. And then you should have seen the reaction of the people. Many men got up And they went to the pilot and says, you should tell us why you land in Baroda. Let us get out. And rah, 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 and the pilot. You know, and even some ladies, they started arguing with the flight attendants. And we had to stay there for 2 hours. And these 2 hours was a very good lesson for me to see how people can get angry and how anxiety and fear can pop up out of nothing. And I was just sitting there and I thought, what should I do? So I said to somebody, relax. I said, the person who is most interested to come to Ahmedabad is the pilot. And the person who knows how to come to Ahmedabad is also the pilot. So let the pilot do his job and don't disturb him. It didn't work, you know. They didn't listen. So I decided that only yoga can keep me sane. And because you cannot get out of the plane, you know, you're sitting in this plane. It was packed. It was full. So you sit there and you just can do yoga. So I almost had the experience I'm hovering on top of the plane and give drishti to the whole plane and calm them down. Because nothing else you can do. And this is the situation we're going to face in the future, because most of the people are not, they don't have it on their personal radar or in their experience, the end of the days, destruction, you know, food shortage, water, you know, they don't know about these things that they are coming. We, because we hear it every day in the Murli, Baba says this, Baba says that. So more or less, we are at least not surprised. We might be not happy about destruction, but we will at least not be surprised because we were told so many times. No? So we are reasonable, okay, and many of us, they will be very okay because Satyuga is coming. You know, the golden age is coming and we reach our perfect shape and form, you know. But these people don't know. So this will become very, very big issue. Now the big question is, are we ready when these people come? Are we all ready? Hands up. Are you ready when these people come in front of you? Not ready? Ready? Yes? Okay. Okay, I take screenshot. Click. Okay, brothers are not putting up their hands. Are you not ready for the people when they come with fear? What are you going to do? Yoga. Okay, and? Yes, you have to give drishti to the people. You have to be powerful. You have to give drishti and you have to be powerful on the inside. Then you sort of can calm these people. It's the only way. Huh? Yeah, you have to smile and powerful drishti, you know. That's the only thing which is going to help, you know. And this time is in front of us, you know. It's not that far. I can feel it, that it's sort of building up, you know. Okay, so these are very dramatic situation, and now I can see a lot of serious faces because the end is coming, but now you see why we should be very, very happy and very optimistic. You see here we have two extremely optimistic animals. One is a little monkey. Little monkey is swinging in the swing and is absolutely sure that he's able to catch the elephant. And the elephant, you know, he's super optimistic. He's already jumping. He's mid-air, you can see. And he thinks, little monkey can hold me. Yeah? So both are optimistic, and that's what we Brahmins have to become. Our face has to become smiling, and we should become happy. Because this is actually a scenario we were looking forward for a long, long time. And we have to, in our mind, we have to shift our mindset from distraction, everything is going to be destroyed, and all these negativities with around it. We have to shift the mindset and see it as a transformational process, which brings golden age to us, you know, and has all reasons for us to be happy and cheerful, you know. So once we shift the perception and the mindset, our attitude towards this what is in the pipeline is also changing. And that's very, very important because we have to welcome it. You know? Because it's anyhow coming. So better is to welcome it and see the big picture. Big picture is Satyuga is coming. We will become deities and we have the fun of our life there. Huh? You all agree? We'll have fun of our life in Golden Age? More fun than now? No more Amritvela, no transformation. No body pain, no dentist, no disease, you know, no paperwork, passwords, internet stuff. Total bliss in golden age. That time is coming. So if we see that big picture, then everything will become easy and we welcome that transformation and then everything changes. If our attitude changes, then everything becomes easy for us and we're welcoming these things and we're not getting anxiety or fear ourselves in front of all these massive changes which are in pipeline. No? So we have to stay optimistic. So now big question is how to create Satyuga. No? Let's be a little bit practical. So this was also a presentation which I showed to outsiders. So a lot of stuff you probably know. So we have to raise awareness and consciousness. We have to change our lifestyle, reduce our carbon footprint, use of renewable energies, and become an angel and a healer. So I will go slowly, slowly through all this and inform you also a little bit what the Brahma Kumaris is doing. You know, Brahma Kumaris has an environmental initiative, a green team, and we are registered with the United Nations for Climate Change, but we are also registered with United Nations Development Program, UNEP, and UNDP, and we are registered with United Nations Environment Program, UNEP, UNDP, UNFCCC, and now we are also registered with United Nations Against Desertification. So we are registered with 5 UN bodies, and registered means we can go to their conferences, we can have an official delegation, and we can participate in the negotiations. And our biggest participation is at the climate conferences. I have been very lucky since Copenhagen, and Sonia also since Copenhagen, we participated at all UN climate conferences, Gentiben also, at all climate conferences, and we have a nice team of BKs who go every year to interesting spots around the world and stay there for 2 weeks. So we have this environmental initiative, and we promote a change on the inside and then the change on the outside. You know, this is the inside-outside connection which we are actually promoting at the climate conference. So we have the 10 ways to change the world. Live simple, follow your dream, be positive, etc. You can download this from the internet, echobrahmakumaris.org. You can download this brochure also, and I have a couple of brochures also here. I have also some blessing cards. And we try to inspire people to become a visionary, change maker, dreamer, creator, and so on. And interestingly, 10 years ago when we came to the first climate conference in Copenhagen, the people thought, ah, what are these funny yogis? What are you doing here? We just take some money, some technology and strategy, and we fix climate change, no? 10 years ago they told us, oh, 12 years, Sonia? 12 years. 12 years ago. And all these politicians were there, Merkel, Obama was there, Gordon Brown, Sarkozy from France, all the presidents were there, and they said, no problem, we fix climate change. And now the same people come to us, and they say, oh, please teach us meditation, because no money is working, no technology is working, and no strategy is working. Please teach us meditation, because we become so unhappy, and we have so much fear of the future. Please help us. It's quite interesting, the change. So we also advocate a green lifestyle. Rethink before you buy. These are the 5 R's. Rethink before you buy or do anything. What is the impact into climate and environment? Reuse as much as possible. Reduce your consumption as much, water, electricity, plastic, etc., etc. Recycle as much as you can do, and refuse to follow all fashion trends. These are things the BK is anyhow doing quite a lot, and we have on our webpage also guidelines for the centers. Reduce plastic, there's a little brochure, and you will find all the nice ideas how to adopt a green lifestyle for your center. No? So the 5 R's are relatively easy. Yes, sister? See, refuse all fashion trends. You know, refuse fashion trend, fashion. See, we go and there's advertisement everywhere. Buy new car, buy new mobile phone, buy new cloth, buy new this. And we Brahmins, we think, oh my God, you know, I'm using this mobile phone now since, I think, 3 years. It fell down already 20 times. Huh. Should I buy a new one, huh? It's still working, but, you know, it's getting a bit old, and advertisement tells me I should get a new one. So even we BKs, you know, we fall for that, you know? So there's a lot of subtle pressure and influence through advertisement, and so we should refuse that. But we first have to become aware that there is that influence on us, you know, through advertisement. We see hundreds of ads. You know, if we travel, we see everywhere ads, newspapers, television, everywhere. Everything is ads, you know, advertisement. So that's why we also advocate refuse to follow all. That's called the simple lifestyle. Just go what you need, the basic stuff, and share with other BKs your resources. You know, sometimes we have so many cloth, we can give them to the sentences, give them to others who need it, or this or that, you know. I'm quite lucky, I have two elder brothers, so I get a lot of good stuff, you know, because they get a big belly, I'm staying fit, so I get the good stuff. Huh? So, here's a picture from our activities at the Glasgow conference, which is just 3 months ago, Sonia, no? Just 3 months ago. And we have been in cold Scotland, and it was not easy for all of us because in UK we were in the middle of Corona, so you can imagine to travel. I was in India, Sonia was in Denmark. To travel and reach was quite some drama. You know, it was quite some drama. Not enough flights. I had to print 20 pages of papers, register with UK government, register with Indian government. I missed one flight because they offloaded me because one paper was not correct, you know. So lots and lots and lots of difficulties to reach there. And we were 39,000 delegates at the conference. It's the world largest conference, the climate conference. Everybody is there. 120 head of states. All scientists, organizations you can imagine. All activists you ever heard of. And, of course, also the youth, you know, the youngsters. Greta Thunberg also came. Who has heard? Who knows Greta Thunberg? You heard about her? Greta Thunberg? You heard? Okay, some of, you don't hear that young girl from Sweden who started Friday for Future? Yes, then say yes if you know her. Okay, okay, okay. Good. So, you see here, what we do is our programs. This is a press conference, so we have the right to do press conference, so we call press conference. We go there and we say, here's the Brahma Kumaris, and this is our policy, and we demand this, 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 this. And there are 6 cameras, it's streamed online, and you can reach out and reach people. And we teamed up with the director of the Potsdam Research Institute, IRSS, and Sonia, Genti, myself. Here is a interreligious program. Brahma Kumaris is also part of the interreligious dialogue. We do a lot of programs there, activities, and we formulated a statement and handed it over to the presidency of the climate conference, you know, with the demands from the religion. And Brahma Kumaris is one of the initiators of the interreligious dialogue at the climate conference. So all world religions, they team up, they send like ambassadors to the conference. Some monks were there, some priests, some gurus, Brahma Kumaris, some Muslims, Swamis, Sufis, you name it, they were all there. So we have meetings and we try to sort of make a statement and push this forward to the presidency to influence a little bit the negotiation process. And here is our stand. We have here our India One power plant, the solar. We have the Yogis for Future, and we have consciousness and climate change and the 10 ways. And we got a stand where we exhibit our displays and our slogans and our message, basically. Né? And we get very, very good response. A lot of people come to us and say, it's so good that a spiritual organization is here, and they really enjoy it. And we have many, many nice talks, you know. And you can feel how people are really, you know, they need it. They need that, especially Corona, you know, after Corona, so much social distancing, and suddenly they can go somewhere and they can talk to somebody and see a smiling face and happy people and good vibration, you know. It's like, oh, they were in heaven. So on the other side, we had also these huge demonstrations. We had more than We had more than 100,000 people on this demonstration, and the youth, you can imagine, were very upset because the action on ground is not enough to tackle climate change. You know, you just imagine the biggest lobby group comes from oil, from fossil fuel, oil, gas, and coal. It's the biggest lobby group within the climate conference. 600 people from the big corporations, and they lobby that the final agreement signed at the climate conference is not disturbing their business. So business as usual. So the world is being destroyed just for the sake of profit. Isn't that interesting? Which says something on values and ethics within human beings. Huh? Greed is paramount. They even destroy the planet just to again make their profit. So that's what's going on. So a lot of youngsters here, you see big demonstration. And there was a lot of activity going on outside the conference. Here, on the other hand, you can see the happy BK Green Team. You know, Sister Jenti, our shining star. And Shantanu from India, Maureen, Sonia, and myself, Valerian is there. And Caroline from Germany. So we are the core team. And we go every year to this climate conference, and we were very well supported by UK Green Team. We had two drivers, sometimes three drivers, two sisters in the kitchen. We got yum yum food every day and nice food packets, and we were staying on the countryside. So we had horses and sheep, and we had a local train, and 30 minutes we were in Glasgow. And for us, the climate conference was good. Also personally, because we could meditate, evening we had good food, everything was nice. All the other people were very exhausted, bad accommodation, bad food, a lot of stress. BKs were in heaven, you know. We met each other, we had fun, and we met so many people. So already you can feel the different worlds, you know, how happy we were, and people could feel it. You know, when they met us, they're like, oh, you know, they're all in bliss. So we did almost 30 programs and a lot of activities and inside the conference and outside the conference. And for us, conference very successful. For the climate, bad news. The agreement has been watered down, and it will not stop climate change. It's actually going on and accelerating. So that's the outlook. No? But this climate conference, this UN service, is a fantastic platform for Brahma Kumaris to go there and meet people. And we get now a good reputation. We have a good name, meanwhile, in the climate at the UN conference. And Brahma Kumaris is well known for its spiritual activities, but also for all the solar projects which we're doing practically, which I will show now. So, Brahma Kumaris is a recognized research center with the government in India on solar technology, and we are carrying out since 25 years research and development projects. We are probably the biggest institutional user of solar energy in India, and this is the photovoltaic just behind Spark, behind training section. And the power which is generated here is running this setup here. So we are getting uninterrupted power. In Gyan Sarovar, we supply electricity to the pumps, to the kitchen, to the light, Baba's room, and all the sound and computers. So we could run Gyan Sarovar on emergency basis. We can run it with solar power. Shantivan, we have India One. Pandav Bhavan is not so good system, but we're working on that. So Brahma Kumaris, here is a system at Om Shanti Retreat Center. This is a 400 kilowatt system, and here's a solar cooking system. So Om Shanti Retreat Center is energy autark. This is our solar steam cooking system in Gyan Sarovar. Have you seen it on top? Okay, when you go and take Bojan, just go on rooftop, and you will see this system. This is 24 years old, 23 years old, and still running, and producing everyday steam, and we are cooking the food for you every day with that system. Only rainy season, 2 months, we use the backup boilers. Otherwise, this runs and runs and runs, and it's free of charges. Once it is installed, the payback is after 4 to 6 years. And the prices are going up. Fuel prices are going up at the moment, you might know. No? So it's a very, very good system. And this was sponsored by the German government. This is our aerial view of the Om Shanti campus, and you see here a big solar steam cooker in Shantivan, and we have photovoltaic here, 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 and also here. So we run quite a lot of, we produce quite a lot of electricity with photovoltaic. We cook 30,000 meals with a solar cooker, and we also have India One, which is a research project between the German and the Indian government. Was a 10 million euro project, and was inaugurated 2018 by Bab Dada. Last time Dadi Gulzar came, you know, was the last program Dadi came, and she pushed the button. You know, was just was just amazing that it happened. And this is a research project. We work with many institutes, research institutes. Was super complicated, super, super, super complicated, high-fly engineering, and 25% of funds came from India, 50% from the German government, 25% from Brahma Kumaris, and the specialty is we can store the electricity. You must have seen India One, no? You have seen? Most of you. Have you seen India One? Yeah, most of you. You have seen? No? You're going? You're going for Shantivan for Baba's program? Yeah, so you go a little bit earlier and you go there. It's quite impressive. So this is our India One, and the speciality is we can store the energy overnight. So it's a 24 hours operational, you know, that's the speciality. See, this is the aerial shot. So you see here we have 770 dishes. We have also 3 megawatt photovoltaic. Here's the turbine house, and here's also photovoltaic. So what happened is we produce steam with those dishes and send the steam into the turbine. And as we store the heat overnight, we can produce steam when we want it and run the turbine 24 hours. This is said in a nutshell, but it took us 10 years to build it. It was super complicated. We do also a lot of training and education. And thanks to the seniors, thanks to the daddies, thanks to Ramesh Bhai, who made this possible, and thanks also to Baba. We had in this project many, many, many problems, sometimes technological problems, sometimes financial problem. We were running a couple of times out of funds, and sometimes human resource problems. And sometimes I was at loss what to do. Then got help from Dadi, got help from Ramesh Bhai, Baba gave message, this, that, you know. So with a lot of help and a lot of blessings, we made this project happen. But it was really magic. We also do a lot of training and education. We did more than 50 workshops there, 30 workshops, and invited engineers from all over India and trained them in this kind of technologies. And this was UNDP funded, United Nations Development Program funds. So now I showed you what Brahma Kumaris is doing with solar energy, and you all at your home, you can use a solar lantern, a solar cooking box, or put solar hot water on the roof or solar photovoltaic. Time is coming when fuel will fail. Baba already said many, many years ago, outside there will be darkness, and in the yagya you will have the light by solar. He gave that message, no? So that is already confirmed that we have a bit of light and outside will be no more power. So a solar system will help you at the end to manage a little bit better and have a little bit of comfort. You know, that's basically what it gives. So now let's come to the last point, how to heal yourself and heal the world, which is full of magic and beauty, because we are coming now to this deep, deep, deep spiritual part of healing the self and healing the world. Healing the self means you deal with your own karmic accounts through the power of yoga. And a very special example and commemoration to our Dadi Janki. I was very lucky that I had close relation with Dadi, and many times when she was in Germany, I was the driver because I had posh and fast cars. So I got the job to drive around, which was very, very good, and I learned a lot. And I could see Dadi in action, also how she helped with her drishti And many times I went to Daddy when we were having really problems. And Daddy says, Daddy will send Sakash in the morning. And 4 o'clock, I was sitting like this and I could feel the energy coming, you know. So powerful was Daddy. And she's really, this drama that she left us, you know, she always wanted to stay until the end here. You know, she always says, I don't want to go. I don't want to go until the end, you know. Now she's gone, you know, and the end is not yet here. So what a drama. So she was a real example of this spiritual leadership in many, many, many aspects. And before that, of course, also Daddy Komarka. You know, Daddy Komarka was very sweet also, you know. So was very lucky to meet all these daddies and seniors. And Daddy Janki always advocated, become an angel. Be a helper of God. Be loving and compassionate, be a healer for the world, and be a guide to the light. And you can see how this angel has the world in his hands and gives the light to the world. Because Baba many times says, what is the most powerful service? Anybody knows? Yeah. Mansa Seva, the service through your thoughts. It's quite interesting, no? BKs are running a lot to make conferences and programs, and I was running here to come on stage. But Baba says the most powerful service is through your mind, the power of your thoughts. Huh? It's quite interesting. So I would like to share with you some projects we are doing where we are using the power of thoughts. This is sustainable yogic farming. You know about this project? Sustainable yogic farming, no? We have a farm in Shantivan, in Tapovan, where we practically apply this. And what happened is, the idea of the project is that you give sakash or drishti to the seeds and to the land. And you do that in the morning and you do that in the evening for 10 to 15 minutes. And you specially concentrate on the seeds and on the land before you put it. It also on the water. Basically, it's like offering food book to Baba also, you know. You charge these seeds. And you will tell the seeds, you will become very powerful, you will germinate very nicely, no bugs can eat you, everything will be all right. And here some results of the yogic farming. Here you see carrots, and you see here, these are the yogic carrots with good wishes. This is organic farming without good wishes, quite some difference. This is organic and yogic. Huh? And here is chemical. And you see, not looking really that much good either. So when you go for yogic farming, you have a lot of advantages, you know. And here you see wheat with meditation, without meditation. So the results are so good that the Indian ministry wants to team up now with Brahma Kumaris and roll out yogic farming to the farmers in India, because the yield is 20% more, which is quite good. No? And here you can see a webpage, www.yogiketi.org. And there you will find a lot of interesting information about yogic farming, some brochures, photos, projects they have done. It's going on since 10 years almost, no? And they worked with 5,000 farmers. There has been a report prepared together with the agriculture university. So it's all quite paka, quite firm. And it's a very beautiful project, how our mind is influencing the world. So, now some information about the scientific evidence of meditation. The last 20, 30 years, a lot of research has been done into the power of meditation and what actually happens to your brain. And many research institutes in the world, they were sort of doing research projects with yogis, with meditators, and over a period of time, they accompanied this yogis in their day-to-day life, and they noted down their behavior, they took regular scans of their brain, etc., etc., etc. So a lot of data has been created, and a lot of publications have also been done. You can look in the internet. It's full of articles and research papers on the positive effects of meditation. In a nutshell, when you meditate regular, it increases your social competence. It means it increases your empathy. You love yourself, you love others, and what you love, you don't destroy, you take care. Huh? Very easy. So you become a lover of things, and you take care of things. Empathy is increasing. So your social competence is increasing. It deepens relaxation and improves health. So a lot of research being done. Meditation helps relaxing, deals with a lot of problems, and is also improving your health. Now something very interesting, increases brain cells and activities. What happens is from the up to the age of 24, your brain is growing. They make the scans and they see up to the age of 24, your brain is growing. From 25, 30 onwards, your brain starts slowly shrinking. That's why when you're 40, you forget your keys. When you're 50, you forget your mobile. And when you're 60, you forget many, many things. Who is older than 30? Hands up. Who's older than 30? Okay. Welcome to the club of oldie goldies. So you might already sometimes experience that you forget things. No? And you want to learn something, but it is a bit more difficult with age. The reason is the free capacity in your brain actually shrinks. You know? And what happened is until the age of 14, you create your habits. And these are called neuronal networks. You know, you like sweet, you like sour, you like red as the favorable car, as your color. You like Mercedes cars instead of BMWs. All this you select until the age of 14, 15. And then you create in your brain highways. And you follow these highways, and that's what Baba calls habits. You know, these are sanskaras. And you take them from one life to the other, and they can be found in your brain in form of neuronal networks. Now what happens is, when you meditate regular, normally once you set these neuronal networks, it's very difficult to change them, because they form part of your subconscious. You not directly can access it. Huh? That's the problem. These 95% of your decisions are coming from subconscious based on these neuronal networks, and it's very difficult for you to access it because you have formed it. You have written the program a long time ago. So you follow a program you have written a long time ago. You don't know how to access it. You have no password. You even don't know that it exists. That's the problem we are in. This is why the transformation is sometimes a bit tricky, because we deal with a hidden program in our system. So what happened is, when you meditate regular, you can reverse the shrinking process of your brain. That's what they found out. It's sensational, because normally gray brain cells do not grow by themselves. You know, that's also what they found out. So when you meditate regular, they have scans that the gray matter is increasing again. So you have more brain capacity and more activity happens in your brain. And because of that, you change habit and awareness, because you're able to change your neuronal networks. And you create new neuronal networks, or Baba calls them your original sanskars. You know, instead of getting angry easily, you change it because you have this neuronal network from childhood. You become compassionate and loving, you know. So these kind of things are going to happen when you meditate regular. And science has found it out. That's why they use often now meditation for coaching in company, but also treating people with mental diseases, because they found out it's very, very helpful. You know? So that's why we are all cutting-edge people, because we're ahead of everybody, because we're regular meditators. And that's why meditation actually helps to change habits, or Baba calls them the sanskaras, because we are rewriting the program in our brain. And meditation does that. And you find a lot of information also in the internet. So, now another little interesting point. I'm giving you snippets of information, and I hope they will inspire you. So this is a bit about, again, what science has to say about the impact of our mind into the physical reality. And we're coming to the quantum physics, which is a very weird world. I even don't know yet 100% what it means. So there's a very interesting experiment called the double slit experiment. So it's very old. In the 30s, they did this, 1930s. So science was trying to find out what is the nature of light. And they made a light source, a wall with two openings and a screen. And if light is a particle, one particle will go here and there will be a light spot here and here. If light consists of a wave, you will have many small waves coming through and you will have what's called an interference design on the screen. The problem was in this result in the laboratory, sometimes they got this result, sometimes they got that result. They changed the laboratory, they changed the setup, but sometimes they got this result and sometimes they got that result. So they were very, very confused because they said something is influencing these experiments and we don't know what it is. Anybody knows? This is very, very famous experiment, one of the most famous experiments in physics. Anybody knows? He will become a gold medal, not a real one. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Huh? Yes. Yes, no, it's near. So what happened is, finally they find out what's influencing the outcome of the experiment. It's the person who conducts the experiments. You know, if that person observes the experiment, he has an impact, and light behaves like a particle. If that person looks away, light flips and behaves like a wave. And then he goes back, and light behaves like a particle. He looks to you, and light behaves like a wave. And this was a shock to the scientific community, because until then, one of the fundamental truths or formulas or ideas or concepts in science is that the physical reality works on its own, is governed by its own laws, and has absolutely nothing to do with the spiritual world or with the mind or with your thoughts. The mind and thoughts doesn't even exist. It has no impact in the reality. Science was only interested in the reality, what they can measure, and suddenly they find out that the observer, through your observance, you are influencing the outcome of the experiment. You can look this up in the internet. It's very famous, called double slit experiment. There's even a film, many films on that in the internet. No? So for science, this was a shock, because suddenly they had to allow the mind becoming a player in the outcome of experiments. It means mind and matter are connected. Now what happened is, there are some scientists, they say, because we observe the world as it is, all the time we shape it. So I'm looking to you and I shape this hall and keep it intact. You look at me, you keep this area intact and you keep it in form. And because next week you're going to your home place, and you already project in the future, I have to go to my home place, I have to do this, I have to do this. Your mind is projecting all the time, is all the time you are observing reality. And by observation, science has found out, you are shaping reality. So some scientists say, our mind is connected to what is called the quantum field. And from quantum field, reality is created. So this world exists because we are there, we play our role, and we are observing it all the time. That's why Baba says the clock is with you. Because if we change our observation, we change the world. If we let go the world and focus on golden age, we create golden age. So, golden age is yet not coming. Why? Because Brahmins are not ready yet. We still observe the old world, our bodies. Oh, I have to go next week to the dentist, you know. A bad tooth here, you know. So once a day this bad tooth comes, is aching, it comes in my mind, and I say next week I have to go to the dentist and get it fixed. So, destruction in the next days is not good for me because I have to get my tooth fixed first, you know. And and Sonia is planning for a Stockholm conference. But when is it, Sonia? In June in Stockholm is a conference. It's called Stockholm Plus 50, and we're just patching the program together and inviting some other scientists and trying to get a speaking slot there, you know? So I thought, oh wow, I go to Stockholm, yoo-hoo, because it's a nice city, ne? So, you know, until summer destruction is not good, you know, because Stockholm is a nice city, I want to go there, you know? Huh? So we all have our little things in our mind, which we project. And by projecting, we observe them and we create them. And we shape them. This is why Baba says at the end, you will only remember me. Not only me as a point. And you will be 100% detached from this old world. And that's the moment when destruction finally happens and creation happens. That's the moment, Baba says, the film stops. Because first we all have to become detached. We have to stop our observation. Because we observe and we shape. It's quite interesting, no? So, the new paradigm, my inner world and the outer world are interconnected. That's why Baba says you children are master almighty of matter, junior master over matter. And Baba says at the end, matter will obey you and will follow you. And you can form and shape it. So, what we have to do, first we have to think positive on ourselves. In the morning when you get up at Amrit Vela, you bless yourself. I'm very good, I will become perfect. My day will be very nice, all the others, everything is good, body functions perfect, and I will have a wonderful meditation, evening meditation will be very good. You just start with a whole load of standard positive thoughts, you know, you just repeat them, and they just have an effect. It's quite interesting, like a mantra. And once you master that, you think positive on others. Huh? You give blessings, everybody comes, you say, oh, you're very good, you're very good, you're very good. You know, even you're sitting in meditation, the next person comes, you know, and he pulls out a plastic bag. And something is in this plastic bag and it makes... And you look to that person. You give him a stern eye, but he doesn't see it and it goes on... He's searching something, you know, some medicine or something. Then his mobile starts ringing because he didn't switch off the mobile. Then you give him a second time a stern eye, like, you know, like semi-damraj, you know, you give him a real warning, you know. You know, even these BKs, you have to give love and compassion. They're just playing their role, you know. And destruction is coming, so what is this little noise there? These are so many small things you can see where you are. So, think positive on others. Give blessings to everybody, BKs and non-BKs, you know. It's a big task. Because usually we are sharp observants and we see always the weaknesses in others. It's human tendency, no? So become a person who gives blessings. Because if you see the weakness in another person, you're also strengthening that weakness by your power of observation. So Baba says he always sees the speciality of the soul. So that's the art. You see also the speciality of the soul, and by that you help the other person to improve. And lastly, you think positive on the world, and you give blessings to the environment, to the world, to the trees, to the animals, to nature, to everything. You become a world servant and a world creator because you give blessings to the whole universe. So, for that, we have to imagine our perfect world. There was a famous song by Imagine All the People. Huh? Who was it? Come on. Ah, my God. John Lennon, the Beatles. Oh, my God. I'm too old. You're all youngsters. Huh? You don't know John Lennon, the Beatles? Yeah, he sang for Daddy Junkie also. John Lennon didn't know and Daddy Junkie didn't know, but he sang for them. Yes. Imagine all the people living all for one and in peace and harmony, something like that. Very famous song. I should have become a singer, but Baba caught me too early. So, we have to imagine our perfect world, and there in this world we have... What's the most important? Come on. Peace? Anything else? Huh? Can you put your mask down? I can't hear you. Yes! Huh? Love. Keep your mask down. Love. You have 2 meter distance to everybody, so don't worry. Love, okay. Who's in favor of love? Okay, majority is love, yeah. Peace is less, yeah. Love it is. Love, you know. Love for the self, love for the world. Everything comes from that. Become generous. Ne? Open your heart in meditation and embrace yourself and embrace your karma. Melt your karma by your love. Melt others' karma by your love. Melt the karma of the world by your love. Ne? And then everything else comes with that. Baba is also the ocean of love. Ne? He loves us regardless what we are doing. So, love is there. Then comes harmony, peace, beauty, perfection, purity, bliss, happiness, prosperity, timeless and just. So these are some of the attributes of Satyuga or Golden Age. So now what happened is, as you have heard before, our thoughts or our vision has an impact, our drishti has an impact into the physical reality, no? Quantum physics. We are all the time shaping the reality by observing it. So the moment, so as long as we shape, look at the world as it is and we see the war, the destruction and all the problems, you know, we shape it and we keep it. But if we change the vision and we start visualizing the future world, which we would like to create, we change energetically a lot. And we change this quantum field and slowly, slowly, reality has to follow. That's actually how creation is going to happen. It will be the collected input by the Brahmins who have the vision, firm vision of Golden Age. And Baba is the director. No, he gives the time and the tact of all this. No? So, have this vision of this positive world. I would like to share with you a project which we did, is it a year now? A year ago we had the idea to because we saw so many people with these problems, anxiety, fear, and all these kind of things, you know. So we wanted to create a platform which is purely for meditation. Because you might have noticed also people are a bit fed up to listen too much or read many books or many brochures, no? They're tired because so much information is there. They want experience. So how you can transfer experience? One is you give drishti to people. The other one is you enable them to meditate and come in a state of connection with Baba, with the divine. So we created a platform called Yogis for Future. You can go there, www.yogisforfuture.org, and you will find 120 meditation commentaries there. Yesterday we just had a Zoom call, Sonia, myself and some others. And we are on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And we offer meditation without anything else. Just meditation commentaries for peace, for love, for happiness, for nature. And we have totally 10 topics. No? 10 topics we have. And you can go there. It's a very nice webpage. And you can share it with others. This is made also for non-BK especially. Each meditation is 4 to 8 minutes with a very silent picture, very nice commentary and some beautiful music. And our David Bai from Art has also helped a lot. And Jandy Ben is there, Sister Caroline from Australia and so many other good meditators. All the good meditators around the world, we collected them, we're still in process. So if you have good meditations, come to me and or Sonia. If you have good meditation commentaries, 6 to 8 minutes in English. And later we may go also in other languages. So this is a very nice platform also, which we created to just build a bridge to the people of the world to meditate, you know? Yeah. Okay. Okay, good, great, wonderful. Yeah, and you can share it actually with people, non-BKs, you know, who are not regular meditating. So every morning or evening they just click one, and it's 6 to 8 minutes, so it's not taking too much time, and they're quite nice. Yeah, great, wonderful. So, we just had a Zoom call yesterday and discussed how we can increase the social media strategy, because, you know, it's crazy world now with the internet. You have to make these little 30 seconds clips, and only if you get 20 clicks by the people that they like it, then they will follow you. You know, it's very wonderful nowadays how the internet functions, but we're trying it to make it more popular, you know. So, and so let's have a little bit meditation for 2 minutes.